to all points unknown. You are tuned in to the broadcast of Outpost 127, sending out an encouraging message on these airwaves to you, the sojourner, the misfit, and the wanderer, standing firm, side by side, for the faith of the gospel.
What does it look like when you're on the verge of becoming empty nesters, but God prompts you to adopt four young children in need? Saying yes to the Lord's call can be incredibly satisfying, but it's never easy. And surrounding yourself with a supportive and loving community is key. In episode 33, Amy Jo Hush discussed the foster care crisis impacting our communities and introduced us to a family, the Hunt family, who is following God's prompting to do their part. And in this interview, James Hunt discusses their journey, including the highs and the lows of caring and loving for children in need. Well, hey, James, welcome in to the Outpost this evening. This is kind of take two in our discussion. we got together, gosh, it's been now a couple months ago, and did a whole evening, a whole recording, a great conversation. And then I went back and listened to the recording and it was just, you couldn't hear anything. Yeah. And so, I asked you if you would come back and do it again. And you said, yes,
of course, yeah, for sure.
So great. Well, good. Then you must've enjoyed talking about the story. So
I did. And yeah. I feel like, you know, I honestly kind of felt like I left some things out. I hope I hit some of the points that we originally talked about, but there's also things that, you know, after we were done, it's like, oh, I should have said this or I should have said that. So yeah. I think maybe the Lord has agreed in that and brought us back together. So,
well, that's a good point. We'll see what the Lord does in the interview this evening. So just to kind of get us started, like I like to do with all of the guests, to let everybody know a little bit about you, a little bit about yourself, your family, your work, your heart, your mission, all of those kinds of things. We'll start there.
Okay. Like I said, my name's James Hunt. I've been married for 25 years now.
Congratulations.
Yes. Yeah. I think actually the time I was here, I think it was like we had just celebrated. I think it was a day later.
That's right.
So, yeah. But my wife and I have been married for 25 years. Her name is Amanda, but she goes by Mandy. And I have six kids, two bio kids. So my daughter, Rebecca, she lives in Las Vegas. She's married. She's 24. Forgive me if I get the ages wrong, guys.
That's okay. I barely remember mine, and I only have three, so.
Yeah, so my daughter, Cadence, she lives here in town. She actually just had our first grandchild. He's actually going to be a year in September.
Yay.
So we're getting ready to celebrate all that stuff. So she's going to be 21 this year, too. And then I have my daughter, Liana. She's one of our adopted children. She is nine. and then she has a sister. And so it's going to kind of put everybody out of order. But her sister is Mia. She's our, she will be, there's one other child between her age wise. But so, but to group them together, Mia is six. Okay. And then we have Rory. She's seven, and then she has a brother, and so those two are biological, and that's why I'm grouping them this way, is they're both biological sisters, biological brother sister. Okay. So Noah's five.
Gotcha. So which is part of this, which is the story that
correct.
We're going to be talking about tonight, and it's kind of why it's important to kind of group them the way that you did. The work in San Antonio, you're from here originally?
I'm from here, yep. Born and raised in San Antonio. We left for a while. Did some work up in the Austin area. Been kind of, you know, different places. I currently do fire and life safety. So basically fire alarms is what I do. I just recently started a few months ago with another company, but for the longest time I worked for a company whose biggest client was HEB. So I kind of made a move away from all that and do strictly fire alarms, mostly, you know, high rises and stuff like that. So,
okay. Office buildings.
Office buildings. Yeah. We actually, I told you, we do saws. Yeah. You work for saws. We do there a lot of their plants and, of course, their main headquarters there. So,
okay. And you had a stint in the military.
I did. Yeah. So, I was medically discharged. Mm-hmm. We were talking earlier. I had ear trouble and lost some of my hearing. I wasn't able to complete everything. So, of course, you know, I was torn up, you know, when I wasn't able to do what I set out to do. Mm-hmm. But the Lord had something else for me. Yeah. And I got some training. Mm-hmm. I got some knowledge. I learned how to grow up a little bit. And, you know, I got back to San Antonio and I was able to get a job doing what I do now. So it's kind of like I got the training, but I didn't do all the full service.
Sure. So. Yeah. And I love that you just said that, and the Lord had something kind of else for you to do. And then also that's part of the story that we want to, you know, talk about this evening. James and I, we both attend the same church here in San Antonio. So we've only gotten to know each other through the church and really we haven't been there very long. You've been there quite a while.
Yeah, I was trying to calculate the years the other day. I think the church, we've been going before. I know the main building or the big building, we call it, mm-hmm. Was built in 2007, 2008, around that time. Okay. We were going to church before that, before that church was built. So
yeah, so you've been there for a while. We haven't. We've only been there for a couple years. Actually, I only think 2 years, almost 2 years. But anyway, we've met your drummer and playing the worship band and see you up there. And so, you know, the one of the interviews we had here on Outpost 127 was from Amy Jo Hush, mm-hmm. and Amy Jo was in, good friend of yours, and was talking a little bit about the foster care crisis and those things here in San Antonio. And it really kind of piqued my interest. And when we didn't dive into it super far. And in fact, she kept saying, I know you're going to have James here to talk about it. So she didn't want to go too far with it, right?
She gave me a good segue.
Yeah, exactly. She set it up perfectly. But let's kind of start there as we go into this part of the story, the foster care crisis that is in Bexar County. Sure. Tell us what you know about it. Tell us, and then tell us maybe a little bit about how you and your wife now have kind of gotten involved in that.
So I don't know all the exact numbers. I mean, I'm sure that they change, you know, quite often, but there is a huge need in Bexar County and even surrounding counties for kids who are in the foster care system. We got into it because we were pretty much almost empty nesters.
Okay.
You can tell by the gap in our children. Uh-huh. You know, we're getting close to where our kids were going to be moving on, mm-hmm. going to school, living life however they were going to live life. And we always had talked about adopting. My wife is adopted, so she always had this drawing to it.
Yeah.
She just felt like, you know, this is what we need to do. And I wasn't 100% on board, you know, as a father, as a man who has to provide, you know, we're a little, I heard a new term or it's a trad. Well, it was referring to a trad wife. Uh-huh. It was, I was just TikTok or one of those things I was scrolling through and, I was like, what's a trad? Well, they explained it. It's a traditional wife, you know? Mm. So we're a traditional family, you know, my wife and I, conservative, we've grown up in the church, both of us. So we've lived our lives in the church. Not always perfect, but there.
Yeah.
And we just, you know, as a father, as a man who's a traditional father and man, I try to be as best I can. I was like, how are we going to do this? You know, I mean, how is it going to go? And of course, you know, I was like, you know what? I'm going to listen to my wife. You know, she's followed me into many things, some good, some bad. I'm going to follow her maybe you can edit this out later. Just a joke. But whenever I hear, there's certain times where I can tell that it's not her speaking, it's the Lord. Mm. That's the part I was talking about. That's
the secondary Holy Spirit.
Yes, exactly. And then, you know, there's just times where I know that it's not her speaking, it's the Lord speaking to me. And this was one of the times where it's like, okay, Lord. And that's kind of partially where Amy came into this, is like, we're going to need help, you know?
Yeah.
And so as we started doing this, we got some other people in the church, Amy, one of them, involved in being able to help us with these kids. It started out, we had two, we fostered for a long while. They went back to their family, but there was always something in our hearts and in our minds that for whatever reason, I wasn't 100% sure that they would be our kids, mm-hmm. but they would be in our lives. Mm-hmm. I always had these, I don't want to call them visions, but these kind of premonition type mm-hmm. dreams, you know, they weren't daydreams. They weren't night dreams. They were just these thoughts. It's like, I'm going to see those little girls again. Mm-hmm. And so we, you know, as they went back home, we struggled with it. But we got the opportunity to find out through someone else who goes to our church that they were back in the foster system. In that time, we had two more that we were fostering and actually getting ready to adopt. And that was the two, Rory and Noah. Yeah. And so we were planning on adopting them. Found out that Liana and Mia were in the system and were like, wow, well, where are they at? What are they doing? And turns out that we knew the family that they were with. So we got to see them again. I was like, I just knew it. Wow. You know, okay, Lord, that's it. Okay, we're good. I understand what you're talking about. We were going to see them again. That you know, we planted a seed in them, and they're gonna you know, we're gonna be able to sit back and watch them grow. And we were good with that. Come to find out that their home that they were in was not going to work out for them. And my wife did this like mad dash. She went a little Karen sometimes, I feel, but you know what? Sometimes you have to. And no offense to the Karens out there. True.
You know
true.
Who you are.
Yes. But you know, she did her part. She did what the Lord told her to do. Those little girls came to live with us and we adopted them. So all of our adoptions happened right around COVID. It was a little wow. crazy.
Wow.
One adoption was in person. We had the whole judge and all that stuff. We did that part of it. The second adoption was Zoom adoption. And wow. It was difficult, but it happened. It got sure. done. We got it taken care of. But
so let's stop there for just a quick second, because I want to back up to something and kind of sure. set this context again. You've already said it, but I want to make sure that the audience really, really hears this. So y'all had biological children. You mm-hmm. were almost empty nesters,
mm-hmm.
right? How old was your youngest biological child when all this kind of began to happen?
She was 16 or 17 aroundish.
Okay.
Cause this yeah. was about 4 years ago.
Okay.
So, yeah.
So you're kind of right there. And then this whole total change kind of in life comes. And I know you're following the Holy Spirit. You're following your wife's direction. Do you have a sense, or has she shared with you about, and I know she was adopted, but what is it in that moment where she was like, we need to do this. We need to get involved. We need to, do you remember that?
So, we'll back up a little bit more. We began following Dave Ramsey. Mm. And trying to get our financial situation in a better, I mean, it was okay, but we wanted to be better and we yeah. wanted to be able to glorify God in the best way possible. And so we started doing that. Well, adoptions are expensive. Mm-hmm. And so we kind of, you know, we took the coupon route and said, hey, the state's willing to pay for this mm-hmm. if you do it. So, there's still financial burdens in there. Mm-hmm. They're not as big, you know, because even just adopting in the states, you know, you gotta find a child, you gotta find a lawyer who's gonna do all the stuff, you gotta do all the court costs and all that stuff like that, and it's even more expensive if you go outside the United States. So you know, we just started there looking okay. at what it would cost just to adopt, mm-hmm. you know, because we kind of had an idea, you know, that we wanted to have, not necessarily a complete newborn infant baby, but you know, toddler age. And because again, there's a lot of kids in the foster care, and these kids, you know, they all different ages. And so you can kind of, we learned, you know, okay, so if you're gonna pay for all this, you have a little bit more say on what you're going to do.
Sure.
When you start doing the foster, you know, you still have that. You can say, hey, this is the range of child, you know, that I'm willing to accept into our home. I mean, pretty much all the way down to ethnicity, gender, you know, you have that say. Mm-hmm. For us, we wanted, you know, a healthy boy, girl, didn't bother us, but we kind of wanted to be in that lower age range, you know. And so we just felt like, unfortunately, kids who are in that older age range, they've already kind of learned a lot of different, you know, habits, stuff like that. And just, we didn't know if we were ready to jump right into that. So we decided, hey, let's stay with the lower age range and see what we get. My wife did a lot of the research. And then again, I was kind of along for the ride. It was like, you know, hey, you want to do this? You figure it out and I'll be there.
Yeah.
You know? And so,
at what point did that switch over?
Because we actually started going to the classes and stuff like that. Uh-huh. I started seeing, okay, you know, it's not as bad as it seems. Mm-hmm. It's not as difficult. That's me. It's like, you know, is it going to be difficult? How difficult is it going to be? What are we going to have to do? What kind of rules? And well, you know, I mean, again, I'm not against rules, you know, but at the same time, I mean, the state comes basically and tells you somewhat how you're going to live your life. How are you going to take care of these kids? How are you going to discipline them? What can and cannot do? I mean, if you were to accept a child and let's say they had religious beliefs, mm-hmm. you have to abide by those religious mm-hmm. beliefs. Gotcha. And of course, you know, us being Christians and, mm-hmm. and the followers of Christ, we were worried, you know, we're going to get a kid who we have to take him to a Muslim church or, right. you know, stuff like that. It was just, you know, our concern, you mm-hmm. know, just because that's who we are. Mm-hmm. And so we were allowed to take them to church. You know, there's nothing that says you can't take these kids to church, but there is something that says if that kid doesn't go to that church, if they're brought up in these ways while they're in the foster care system, you're going to follow that stuff. So, okay. But it wasn't, you know, again, as difficult as we thought it was, you know, I think again, the Lord kind of opened doors and made things a lot easier for us as we went through, because we were doing what he wanted. Mm-hmm. You know, there's inspections and stuff involved, and I'm kind of used to that with my job, you know, following inspections and knowing, reading the nomenclature on what they, so our inspection went smoothly. Everything, hey, you're good to go. So, you know, do these three things and we'll get you on the board for, you know, the next available child. And so we did. Okay. Mm-hmm. We got, you know, again, Leon and Mia came to us and they lived with us and they went back home. Mm-hmm. It was hard.
Yeah.
It's like, are we didn't do this again?
Yeah.
Are we, you know, it's a Band-Aid you rip off. Are we, you know, are we willing to do this again? It's like, no, the Lord told us that we are. So we took not a long break, but a little bit of, you know, let us get over these two and mm-hmm. kind of readjust. And then in that time, we got a call for Rory and Noah. And so we're like, okay, yeah. Of course, you know, I've been surrounded by women.
Yeah.
So I was like, a boy, yes. Okay, we'll take a boy. And, you know, Noah was like, I think 6 months, 7 months old when he came to live with us. And I was like, all right, cool.
Yeah.
He's a little boy that you know, I can raise into a good young man. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, cool. You know, we'll have him come and live with us. So they came in to live with us. They show up and they have nothing. I mean, my wife in the middle of the night is at Walmart buying diapers, clothes, formula, everything. Cause it's like, well, here's this formula. I think he drinks this. Here's some bag of clothes that they should fit into. And you look at it and it's like size 4, size 5. And it's like, Roy's this little tiny thing, you know, she's pretty much in like 2T still, 3T. I mean, she was tiny. And of course, Noah, he's this little chunk.
Yeah, and that's what was given to you.
That was what's given to us. And so that's kind of where Amy and a lot of our friends came in. Well, we're fast forwarding a little bit, but we got Amy and some other friends who got involved and of course watched us do this. And like, why are y'all willing to you know, Amy, I think we got her to be a respite, so that's long-term care. Another couple other of our friends, we paid for them to become just caregivers. That way we could still do like a date night or, you know, whatever. And so we had someone, cause you can't just be like, hey, mom and dad, your new grandma and grandpa come watch the kids. Our kids who lived in our home had to do these same trainings because they lived in our home. So they had to do the training to be able to be around these kids. So there's again, smooth. We had people willing to step up, you know, because again, it takes a village.
Yeah. And I'm glad you have brought that up a couple times, because I definitely wanted to focus on that. Like, because mm-hmm. I think you've told me before that kind of in that moment, you know, there's Amy Jo, but there was the church too.
Sure.
The church showed up and they helped provide what?
I mean, they provided a lot. Most of it was caregiving. But you know, cause again, we had followed the Lord and said, okay, we got to prepare for this. So we were financially set to be able to do this stuff. But they also kind of realized, well, not everybody is, you know, a lot of people think people adopt kids or take foster kids in for money. The state gives you, they don't give you a lot of money. You know, they give you money. I mean, I'm, you know, transparent about that, but they don't give you a lot. You're not going to make money off these kids.
Yeah.
You know, kids take money. Yeah, we all know that. Yeah, if you have a kid, you know that. So, you know, having to come into the home and not be prepared. I mean, I don't want to say we weren't prepared, but you know, we had a place for them to sleep. We had to have that. We had, you know, certain clothes, some hand-me-downs from our girls. We didn't have boys. So of course, you know, we had to get, we had to get boy clothes. We had to get boy toys, you know, cause it's like, I mean, he was a baby, but he's still, you know, you're trying to, you know, keep him, you know, with the toys that he's going to play with and her toys that she's going to play with. And, you know, we had to get all that stuff, you know, and again, kind of fast forwarding, but Amy and they all recognized that there's sometimes people who are willing to do this, but they don't have the means to have all of this stuff here. And maybe they do, but you know, our church, we started storing stuff that we weren't using anymore at the church. And then it turned into, well, if there's anybody who needs this stuff, let them have it. You know, my wife has been blessed with the ability. Her little saying is, I stretch your dollar into two. So whatever I make, she's doubling. And so she's been blessed with being able to thrift really well. She's always looking for, looking for the good deal. I mean, she's one of those who shops for Christmas now.
Okay. Yeah.
She's on those clearances and she's got, you know, so she'll be buying stuff throughout the year because she's like, why am I going to pay full price if I can get it now and just store it up for later, you know?
Yeah.
So, she does that for the foster ministry, that we have at the church now. She's, I'm not 100% exactly what she's gotten, but I got this for the foster ministry. Oh, cool. You know, she's very good at finding those deals and just weeding through. She has the patience to weed through that stuff.
Yeah.
Where a lot of people
for a possible next family.
Correct.
Correct.
And so that's kind of where we got started is like, you know, how can we help another family or families out there who are getting into the foster part of their lives, you know? I think it kind of started with a lady who my wife got introduced, and it was just a real quick introduction, but she's like, yeah, I have a foster closet. Well, what's a foster closet? She explained it, you know, it's, we got crib, we got that. this, we got, you know, cribs, diapers, toys, clothes, you know, just things that are going to be hand-me-down if you have a place to store them. And so, but she was moving away. And so that's kind of where the idea came from. And so they started doing a lot, storing that stuff up in the church. We had a nice, good area up in the attic of our church that is unfinished, but it's a good place to store this stuff. And so,
yeah, perfect.
They've been putting it away up there. And, I think, I'm not exactly sure on how many families we've helped. I know I've been at least three of them that I've gone and done some deliveries with. And just, you know, family, some of them are just kinship, you know, that's the other thing too, is there's a kinship. And what that means is a family member steps in and says, hey, I'll take care of her. Okay. So family member may be good on paper as far as a good person, good home, but also not prepared to take in a child.
Right.
And so, you know, so the people, I remember two of them that I've gone to visit, it was like grandparents who were taken in because mom and dad had whatever issues. And so they took in the kids, and of course they needed whatever they needed. And
sure.
We were there to give it to them and, you know, help out the best we can.
Well, it's interesting. I don't know why this popped into my head, but it makes me think about, you were talking earlier about preparing through Dave Ramsey. Mm-hmm. It was expensive. You were preparing yourself. You were storing up, or you were saving money. You were getting ready for this opportunity. And here there is a foster closet that's being prepared in much the same way.
Correct.
Right?
Yes.
Things being stored, things being readied for whatever may happen, whatever God may do and to another family that might come along.
Sure. Yeah. So then I think that, again, became one of the things we were able to use, you know, just kind of how to do that, you know, because mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know. I think we did talk about it. You're familiar with the Dave Ramsey concept.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, there's, you know, the free spirit, and then there's the person who holds everything down. Mm-hmm. Well, my wife is the one who holds everything down on the free spirit. And so it's difficult. It's like, I'm ready to, you know, we made this much money. Okay, we have it. Let's go spend it. No, we got to put it away.
Yeah.
The same thing, you know, it's like, okay, well, what are we going to do with all this stuff? We got so much stuff in our house. What are we going to do with it? Just hold, you know, calm down. We're going to get it, you know, to wherever it needs to go, whether it's a church or someone who has it, you know. So some areas of our house are a little more cluttered than I like to be, but it's like, you know what, you know, I don't know how many car seats we've given to people.
Wow. That's amazing to be able to do that, because you recognize what they're going to go through or what they are going through. It's not sympathy, it's empathy, because you've been there.
Yeah.
And I think that's a whole different level.
Yes, it is. I mean, to be able to speak to, you know, I mean, we have so many people tell us we're crazy. Mm. You know, it's like, y'all are nuts. Mm. I was like, maybe, you know, but it's working out, yeah, you know. Amen. It's just, again, we're doing what the Lord told us. The Lord's blessing it. You know, I mean, he tells us plant seeds, mm-hmm. you know, whatever seeds you plant, you're going to, you know, reap those rewards. Mm-hmm. And it may not even be us. It may be someone else, you know? I mean, my hope is just one day that I'll be in heaven and someone tugs on my shirt and be like, you help me. Mm-hmm. How, mm-hmm. you know? It'll be like, you know, my Christmas is here. I always tell my kids, it's like, I'm just as surprised when you get your gift as you are, because mom's doing everything behind the scenes.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's, you know, us, me, my wife, you know, that I'm going to be, you know, just, hey, you help me in a certain way. And it's like, well, awesome. How, what way, you know, let me be surprised. Let me know how it went, you know, cause I think you get that with so many people you meet throughout your life. It's like, did I get through to that person or didn't I? I mean, I just, you know, I'm not a vocational preacher, but I love to talk to people about God. Mm-hmm. And that's one of the things I like about my job, is I'm never in the same place. You know, I'm always around all the time. I move around. I go to different places. I meet different people. I've prayed with different people. And it gives me that opportunity to, you know, just, again, spread the word. Holy Spirit will water it.
Yeah.
You know, that's what we're told to do, yeah. is spread the seed, Holy Spirit will water it, you know. And but when you walk away from people like that, it's like, did I make an impact? And I don't mean it in a me way, you know. I mean, humanly, yeah, sometimes you wonder, did I do good? Mm-hmm. Did I make my father proud?
Yeah.
You know, but in a spiritual way, it's just like, I want to see those people in heaven. I want to be in heaven. I want to do it. The Lord has told me to do so that I can be with those people in heaven, whether it's my kids, my family, a guy that I saw crossing the street that needed help, you know, it's just those opportunities come, and sometimes you let them pass by, sometimes you don't. I mean, I've had several different opportunities that, you know, have worked out well, and I've had several opportunities like, oh, that was a missed opportunity. Mm-hmm. Why didn't I open my mouth? Why didn't I do something? Mm-hmm. So.
In his book, Authentic Influencer, Jonathan Murphy writes, "Never trust a leader without a limp." And while there's a huge blessing in adopting children in need, as you've heard, dealing with the limps are also part of the deal. And we'll talk more about that in just a second. But before we continue with the story, I wanted to take an opportunity to tell you about the amazing organization called South Texas Alliance for Orphans, who are helping over 90 churches and 4,800 plus people to get involved in the foster care crisis in the San Antonio area. Now, you can learn more about this crisis and the powerful work this organization is doing at www.alliance4orphans.org. That's www.alliance4orphans.org. Thanks for considering how you might get involved. And so now let's conclude our story with James Hunt.
All right, James. So we've been talking about kind of how this all came about, the Lord leading you, being directed by the Holy Spirit, the church really coming alongside, helping you out. And you said something a while ago, I thought, was great. You said that, you know, you were worried about it being a difficult process to get it going. And then you realize, well, it's not as difficult as you thought it was. Yeah. It's difficult, but not as difficult as you thought it was going to be. But you now have got the children. They're in your home, mm-hmm. and things haven't all just gone perfectly and wonderfully. And just, it's all just perfect, right? I mean, you've had some issues, you've had some trouble, mm-hmm. you've had some things that have gone on. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. All of our kids that we've adopted, they all have issues, for the best way to describe it. A lot of them are, you know, like my son, he has separation issues. You know, when I leave, mm-hmm. he freaks out. Is Dad coming home? I actually changed job. One of the big reasons I changed my job is because I traveled a lot in my last job. And I was home late a lot of my last job. And so for Rory and Noah, that was kind of an issue. So I changed, and Lord blessed me with a job to be able to do that, you know, an opportunity to be able to do that. I mean, the job I had before, they worked with me very well. But at the same time, you can only ask so much of an employer, you know.
Right.
And so the opportunity that came where I could kind of not have to travel so much came up, and I took it. And he blessed it. I mean, less responsibility, more money. I can't complain.
Yeah.
So thank you, God. Thank you, Lord. So
it's like the dream job, right?
Yeah, for sure. For sure. So I'm able to kind of deal with their stuff. Liana and Mia, they're more, a lot of their stuff is more eating issues. A lot of kids who are in the foster care don't know where their next meal is sometimes.
Okay.
And so all of them have that issue. But it's more prominent in Liana and Mia, especially Mia. She actually has pica, so she will eat pretty much anything.
Mm.
So she's like a little baby goat. It's like you gotta watch, you know, gotta watch the trash. You gotta watch anything.
Wow.
Anything.
Yeah.
Rabbit food. We went to a friend's house. She was eating the rabbit food. I was like, can't eat that.
Mm.
Dog food. Mm. You know, gotta make sure, you know. Unfortunately, we have to lock a pantry.
Okay.
Because wow. she'll just get in and just start going to town, you know. Mm-hmm. Liana's the same way. She doesn't have pica, but she definitely grew up not knowing where her next meal was going to come from, you know. And she's very maternal too. She wants to be, she just grew up so fast.
Yeah.
So she has to take care of everybody. It's like, slow down, take care of yourself, worry about you. Mom and Dad got this, you know. And that's just constant reminder, you know, of Mom and Dad got it. Mom and Dad got it. You don't have to tell everybody what to do, but she is definitely a little mommy. You know, she's, don't do this, don't do that. Do you need this? Can I? No. She loves to help too. So that's good. But yeah, they all have different things, different issues. Thank the Lord that, being again, the state does step in and help. So, there's things that you can get, you know, they provide a lot of assistance. So, you know, we're able to get a lot of help for them. Of course, that being said, you know, the state is state funded, state ran, state, you know, so sometimes it does take a little while to get them in to see a specialist or get them in to see a counselor or, you know, get, oh, we don't accept that type of insurance, or we don't accept this, you know, type stuff. Mm-hmm. So, you know, finding those people, of course, you know, again, the Lord blessed me with a job where my wife can stay home. So she's a full-time mom. Mm-hmm. She's at home. I mean, you know, I don't want to downplay her being at home all the time, because I think there's plenty of times where she'd like to trade places with me.
Yeah.
And there's no times where I want to trade places with her.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, I come home and I help out the best I can. But, you know, being with the kids, especially in the summer all day long, she's like, get home now.
Yeah.
I'm away.
Your turn.
Yeah. But, you know, again, we have a good group of people who are there to back us. Mm. So that helps us so much. Just, you know, having Amy there, Hannah, her daughter, has helped us out. Those two are just, I mean, they're just another mom and another sister to step in and, you know, they know. Mm. Mom and Dad have cleared whatever they say goes, you know, whatever discipline they deem necessary goes. Mom and Dad are not going to argue. You know, Mom and Dad talk. They're like, what? How did you know this? I talked to Mom. Mm. You know, as much as our older kids don't think that Mom and Dad talk, you know, because there was a time where, you know, we talked, but Dad didn't listen.
Okay. Yeah.
Dad was busy doing whatever, you know? Yeah. And so our older kids, like, y'all never talk to each other. It's like, yeah, we do. It's just, I didn't remember everything. Mm. You know, I was doing my own thing and, you know, kind of living life, whether it be work or hanging out with friends or doing all that stuff. And my wife stood by me and said, you know, this is my husband, whatever dumb crap he's doing or however he's making me feel, I'm going to stand by him. And she did. Mm. And, again, I think the Lord blessed that, you know, and changed me. We had a lot of change right before we got the kids.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you. I'm glad you, but it's like you set that up perfect. What's resonating in right now is I was going to ask, how has this experience changed you?
So we've had to become more of a team, even so from, you know, like I said, with the, our first two, our biological kids, you know, we were one, we were children raising children. I mean, we got married young. Like I said, we got married when we've been married 25 years. I'm 43 years old. So you do the math. So we were young. We were still in high school. You know, we got married and we didn't go to, we didn't go on a honeymoon cause we had finals. We didn't go to prom because, you know, a year later we didn't go to prom because we were going to have a baby. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we got to the point where we were growing up and of course I was doing all the growing up that a young man does being married, you know, and a wife that I just kind of, I mean, I took advantage of, you know, she was there and I knew she was going to be there. So I didn't have to worry. I didn't have to change. I didn't have to, you know, live in that way. And so with my older two, mom did everything. Dad was the disciplinarian and dad was, you know, the provider. And that was kind of it. You know, other than that, it's like, well, if you need something, ask your mom. Oh, you need that? Oh, go talk to mom. You know, it's like, so it kind of did make it seem like we didn't talk, you know, but we talked. It's just, you know, dad is like, okay, whatever you think needs to be done, do it. And so when we got these kids, we had to, again, we had to learn to be better teammates, you know, cause, I mean, she was doing it all, you know, and there's no I in team, but I was like, there is, you're the I. And so we changed the way thing, you know, we worked through some stuff. We went to counseling. We got on a better track, you know, but I think again, it was the Lord who kind of shook me, you know, he shook me and was like, get your crap together.
Well, it makes me think about, again, about just the goodness of God and how, you know, what you and Mandy have done by opening up your home and being willing at a later time in life. And like you said, I'm going to go back, you know, this idea of empty nesters and, and then saying, okay, we're going to kind of start this all over again. Right. By being willing to do that, you are changing these children's lives. You're giving them an opportunity that they probably would not have had otherwise, right? And you're giving that opportunity for them to know God, to have a better life, to learn, you know, all those things. But it's interesting that in the midst of that, like a lot of times our focus is on the kids, like we're providing for the kids.
Yeah.
God is using this opportunity at the same time to change you, to grow you, to bring your marriage together stronger. So it goes both ways.
Yes. It has made our marriage stronger. You know, a lot of people kind of, I've heard this saying, you know, you don't have kids to save a marriage. Well, we did, you know, we adopted kids to save a marriage because it was, you know, I mean, both of us have recognized that for my wife, she has some health issues that her health issues, she probably would have laxed on and may not even be here. Cause there was a point where she almost passed away. She was in the hospital for 30 days. She was in the hospital. You know, I mean, much so to when we were going back to the hospital one day to do like a follow-up appointment. And one of the doctors just kind of like had that, I've seen a ghost kind of look. Huh. He's like, you made it.
Huh.
I mean, really? Those were the little words out of his mouth. Yeah. You made it. Huh. She's like, yeah. So, you know, she's had some medical issues since then. And, you know, we both kind of decided that we weren't going to let those medical issues get in our way. So there's times where I'm at church by myself with the kids. I've had people come up to me like, I've never, you know, most fathers would not bring their children to church by themselves. I mean, you know, two or four, you know, and there's times where I have all four of them here, you know, and, but I know that he's going to provide the help that I need while I'm there. So it's like, you know what? I don't drop my kids and just leave them. You know, I'm not trying to say that.
Yeah. Well, no, I never see that with you. I mean, you're always there. They're by you.
So I don't mean it that way, but I know that, you know, I can get them to class and they're going to be, you know, it's going to be okay. And I can do what and like you said, I play the drums. So, you know, Sunday morning, I play both services and they sit, I have usually just two of them with me, but they sit and one family will take them in. There's a couple of families that will just, they know, hey, dad's up on the stage, so you got to sit here and be quiet with us, you know?
Yeah, I've seen that for sure.
And so it's you know, it's funny because I just helped teach the youth this past week, and we were talking about David and Goliath, you know, and why David was willing to step up. And what caught me and what I was telling these kids, I'll admit, AB, sorry, I did not study.
It's coming out now.
Yeah, I did not study. But as we're going through it, this is another Christmas moment. I was just as surprised as the kids were. But what caught me is David's willingness to be brave, to have the courage to step up. I kind of told the kids, I was like, to me, it's a little bit of fake brave. And like, what do you mean? I was like, they already knew that God was on his side. Why? How do we know that? Well, because he tells us, and if you read in the verses, he's telling us that he's fought bears, he's fought lions. Why? Because he had God. That was his thing. It's like he has all these weapons, all this stuff. I have God.
So
for me, I have that same feeling. It's like, you know what? God's gonna provide. You know, I can bring the kids. I've gone to the beach. We went to the beach. Mandy wasn't feeling well. Went to the beach. I had help. We got through it. You know, they had a blast. I had a blast. It's one of those things. Again, we're not going to allow the sickness. And I don't mean to sound like I'm leaving my wife behind. She was taken care of. But, you know, it's like I'm going to have someone take care of you so that these kids don't miss out. And so I guess in some ways, I think she did that with our first kids. And I'm trying to repeat that and kind of playing catch up on my end with these kids. She had two. I had four, though. So.
Well, that's what you get.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's crazy because these kids are just most of them. You look at them, and I get so many times like Noah is a little you. Yeah, he is. You know, and you know how they tell you, you know, whatever you were when you were a child, you get it times 10. With
you're seeing that now.
Oh, definitely seen that. What was I thinking when a boy? You know, all the girls are so easy. You know, again, they had a great mother, you know, leading them. So it's so easy. And so he just wants to be on my side all the time. And so he goes everywhere with me. That's one of the things I put in my head. It's like, I want to have him there.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Do I have to take extra precaution to make sure that he doesn't hurt himself because we're working on a car? You know, he helps me.
Yeah.
You know, he has his lawnmower. I have mine, and he's right behind me mowing the yard.
Well, and again, there was my point well ago, which is he's learning.
Yeah.
He's your mentoring, your father, right? And he wouldn't have had that opportunity
for sure.
And here you are really changing his life that way. So let's just say that, like, kind of as we were wrapping up, there's a family and they're listening, or somebody's listening right now, and they're saying to themselves, wow, this is like an amazing story. I live in a community. I know people that, in my church, or I know people in my community, my family, whatever, that have gone into this, fostering and adoption, and they're doing that. Right. What would you say to them, about ways that they could help if they're not going to adopt themselves? What are some ways that the church or others can get involved in helping families such as yourself?
Sure. I think the biggest thing that always pops up into my head is, you know, being able to get those people time to themselves. You know, like I mentioned this the last recording that we had that didn't make it. And I think it's still important is, you know, allowing these people to decompress.
Yeah.
So there's opportunity. There's ways. Like I said, we paid for people to get licensed or certified to be able to watch the kids. So that's a big help, because people who have foster care kids, they can't just take them to anywhere. Like I was mentioning, you know, you can't just tell grandma and grandpa, hey, you're up.
Yeah.
Because, you know, if grandma and grandpa aren't certified,
they have to be certified.
They're not. Yeah.
They have to be. Is it caregivers?
It's caregivers. Yeah. And then you have respite caregivers. Okay. And respite is long term. Like they would be able to, like if you had an emergency or you need someone to spend the night or whatever, they would be allowed to do that. So that's a big piece of it. Of course, you know, a church, you know, like our church has this foster care ministry, foster closet that we do. You know, we take in pretty much anything usable for a child, whether it's clothes, toys, diapers, you know, just anything like that. I mean, just being able to give, if your church doesn't do that and they're not, you know, able to do that.
Yeah.
Find a church that is, you know, and help if that's what you feel called to do, you know, and of course, follow what the Lord tells you.
Sure.
If you really feel like you're on the fence to, you know, to do the foster thing, I tell everybody, you know what, try it. It doesn't have to be. It's foster care. Mm-hmm. So foster care means that you can hold on to these kids until they turn 18 and never adopt them. Mm-hmm. Or you can hold on to them until their family is ready for them to come in. And of course, you know, like the Lord tells us, we're sowing that seed.
Yeah.
So we bring them in, like, you know, Liana and Mia, when they were first here, church prayed over them, and they remember. Mm. And so we you know, when they first came back to live with us and we were driving somewhere, like, that's our church. They remember. So, you know, even though they've been through some rough stuff, I think it heightens their ability to remember things, you know, good things, especially,
yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, all this bad that's gone in my life, this good thing made me feel happier. It made me feel, you know, loved. I'm going to hold on to that.
Yeah.
And so, you know, they knew, one of the times we actually went to the coast, we took, I didn't take them. Mandy and Amy Jo took them to go see our old pastor, mm-hmm. because they remembered being prayed for by him. And so they wanted to visit him.
Cool.
And so, you know, we have a big travel trailer, so I wasn't going to try and maneuver it to his church. Uh-huh, uh-huh. So I came home and they went and visited with him. And they got to see him, and it, you know, just a little reunion for them.
Yeah.
It just, again, something good in their life that they remembered because they felt loved by a church who sat and took the time to learn their little quirks, the little things that they had going on. You know, Liana remembers, she used to ask so many questions. It was like, Liana, you get 4 questions, that's it. So for the longest time, that was kind of a big joke. You get 4 questions, even between our adult friends, 4 questions, that's it.
Yeah.
And so, and Pastor Doug remembered that. Mm. And so it was a funny thing, you know, it's just, and she remembers it.
Yeah.
So it's just, you know, the opportunity. So if you feel like the Lord is moving you that way, if your wife is telling you or your husband's telling you, don't be afraid to tip into that, you know, because there's been plenty of times where she has told me stuff and I didn't listen and bit me in the butt big time.
Yeah.
And then there's been other times where I did, you know, we did listen and we did do what, you know, the Lord was telling us to do. And it's just like immensely blessed us, you know, I mean, just so many different ways that we've been blessed in our lives. You know, that's my biggest thing is just do what the Lord's telling you to do.
And that this word comes up to me, which is hope. You're providing hope for kids. You're providing hope for those that are taking care of the kids.
Yeah.
And even things, like you said earlier, if you notice that they're serving, and the kids have to be kind of watched for a little while, like that can even be something to help out with.
Sure.
It doesn't have to be some big thing that we think it has to be.
No.
Just to see where the need is, follow the Holy Spirit, and then just go and do it. Right.
Yeah. And just, you know, hey, I noticed you're doing this. Can we help you with the kids or whatever? And then that's exactly what our church has done. You know, there's a family that takes the kids sometimes. I mean, they've only been going to church not very long, you know, and they just gravitated to them, and they're okay, cool. We'll bring you in. No problem. You know, you know, Jen and Abby are big with our family. You would think we've known each other for years. Mm. No, it's, you know, I guess we were kind of calculated the other day. It's been like maybe 2 years, you know,
wow.
That we've known them, but it feel like, you know, we've known them for like 20 years.
Yeah.
And you know, they work with our kids, like, you know, plenty of times where I've called them, hey, can y'all come? We got this thing, this issue came up. Can you pick up the kids?
Yeah.
Sure. We'll take care of them.
Love that.
So yeah. Love so there's that. a lot of, you know, just opportunities that you may not realize are huge opportunity. You know, they may seem minimal, but
yeah,
they're volumes of, you know, when it comes to helping,
yeah,
especially with kids.
Well, and again, the connection tonight in this interview was kind of Amy Jo, right?
Yeah.
And that connection and her talking about that. And then you and I having that conversation and saying, hey, let's tell your story. Let's hear this story and try. And again, the purpose of Outpost 127 is to try to encourage people out there who are thinking, and I've been using this terminology a little bit lately, which is quote unquote ordinary lives. And we're living our ordinary lives.
Yeah.
And we think, I can't do anything really extraordinary for God unless it looks like this.
Yeah.
And I love to share stories like what you're sharing tonight, because it encourages us, for those of us who are saying, how can I give my life? How can my life be ministry? I am the church. Mm-hmm. I don't go to church. I am the church. Sure. How do I serve?
Yeah.
And all those kind of things that you're talking about tonight kind of gives us a good picture of what that looks like. So thank you to you and Mandy for, you know, for just saying yes to the Holy Spirit, especially again, I think it's remarkable that it was that time in your life. Mm-hmm. I know I keep going back to that, but I think that is so rare and remarkable for you to be able to say, yeah, let's do this. And then God just continued to provide more kids and you said yes.
Yeah.
But then you had the support structure that came around you. So I'd like to, if we could, as we're ending, just to pray over you tonight and pray over Mandy and just pray over the kids as well. But Father, we thank you so much for bringing us together again this evening. And thank you again for the opportunity again, Lord, the first time that James and I got together, I was in awe of the story, and I sat here and just heard you working through him and his wife and what was happening with the kids, that they're just giving them hope and changing their lives and the church coming alongside. And Father, it was just a wonderful picture of what I believe to be absolutely true and the way things can work in our world. When we have days when we think to ourselves, we're not going to find any support, or this is going to be way too hard. Father, you're there guiding and leading and saying, you know, trust me, I've got this, and I'm gonna take you to a place that you don't even know what it's gonna look like. And so, Father, I just ask for your continued hand of direction and grace and mercy to be on James and Mandy and their kids and the church and just everybody. And Father, I just pray that this story, as it goes out to whoever's listening to it right now, that you are doing a work in their heart, and they're beginning to maybe think to themselves, how can I get involved in the foster crisis that is in our city or in our county, wherever people may live. They're experiencing a foster care crisis, and so a foster kid crisis. And how can we get involved financially or service or coming alongside those that have adopted? Father, put it in our hearts and show us how we can be available, and we can serve, and we can love our communities and serve the least of these in our community. So Father, just thank you again for just opening up the doors tonight and allowing James and I to come in here and just to hear your story, really your story through James. And we just pray these things, Lord Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thanks James for being here again. I really appreciate it. And again, it was no less remarkable the second time around. So
I'm glad I didn't disappoint. I was worried. I was like, am I going to forget something? Am I not going to?
No, it was great. Thank you so much. Appreciate it. All right.